It's been said that you can mark a life by the titles one accumulates. And if that's true, our guest tonight has had quite a remarkable life. He is a retired bishop in the United Methodist Church. I wore my purple tie tonight. It's the color of the bishop. He's been dean of the chapel at Duke University for a number of years and has set the stage for what that job is to represent, not only around this country, but around the world. He is an author of over 60 books. He's been a professor and lectured on nearly every continent in the world. He's a husband, he's a father, and he has been a friend and mentor to a generation of people who sing, "Give me Jesus." But the title that has been most important to me through his writing and his preaching is that of herald. Dr. William Willimon has been one throughout his entire life who is always opening up the book that we love and pointing to Jesus, which is what the herald does. The herald never draws attention to oneself, but always to the king. And in the king, the kingdom that is drawing near right now. My friends, would you please give a warm and hospitable and robust Hope College welcome to Dr. William Willimon.
Hey. Thank you. Hi. Wow. Thank you. I'd heard about the gathering, but I had to see it myself, and wow, to be here and feel the spiritual energy and all of you here, it's just one of the most amazing places I've been, and I've been around a lot of places. And God is dealing with me tonight, because I got to admit, I've had some prejudices. I probably have thought in the past that people of Dutch Reformed descent have difficulty getting loose and having a good time without alcohol. And okay, God, I was wrong, all right? You're dealing with me. Now, Trigg has told me that you have been working through Mark's gospel, and therefore you probably came to that first scene where we see Jesus in action for the very first time. He goes to the synagogue in Capernaum, and they're having a Sabbath day. They're having a Sabbath, and they're settling in, and everybody's sort of centering and getting ready for worship and getting in a good worshipful frame of mind, settling in on the Sabbath and the peace and getting ready to hear God's word. And Jesus shows up, and he doesn't seem to be there to preach or to teach. He just shows up, and when Jesus walks in the door at the synagogue, this man possessed by a demon says, "I know who you are, Jesus of Nazareth. Get out of here." And Jesus responds, "Go to hell. Get out of him. Get away from him." And the people in the synagogue said, "Wow, we always had a nice service here before Jesus got here. Wow, what was all that about?" Only the demons know who he is in the beginning. Well, I say that as lead into tonight's scripture, also from Mark. Jesus goes home. He goes home. It may be fall break. I don't know. He's going back to the mom and dad and his brothers and sisters. Yes, Jesus had a family, and he goes back home. And Mark tells about Jesus' homecoming, back home, back with the folks. Jesus went home, from Mark 3. And the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He's gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of demons, that's how he cast out demons. And Jesus called them to him, and he spoke in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? A kingdom divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. Jesus goes home to his family. And while he's there, his family said something that surely very few of you have had your family say to you. He's out of his mind. He is exekstemi. The Greek word means literally he's nuts. He's out of his mind. You may have had disagreements with your family on various points, but how many of you have had your family try to commit you as being criminally insane? Let's see the hands. You know, this doesn't happen that often. Jesus Christ goes home to his family and they say he's exekstemi. He's out of his mind. He is crazy. Much the same thing is said in John 10, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And I am such a good shepherd. I don't just feed the sheep. I don't just care for the sheep. I lay down my life for a $9.95 plus postage sheep. To which they say, that is exekstemi. That's out of his mind. He's crazy. Some of you may have the decision of, as a college chaplain, I talked to students about what they want to do. I remember I talked with her and she said she was a biology major, but she really had this passion for wanting to be a potter, and she wanted to make pots, and she wanted to get a pottery studio and start working in this medium and everything. And I said, oh, I think that's great. That's follow your dream. That's good. You don't know how many people are stuck in jobs they don't want to be in. You go ahead. You follow your dream. And she comes back a week or so later, and she said, well, Mr. Great Counselor, I went home and I told my parents about my dream of being a potter. And I told them that the chaplain said he thought this was beautiful, that I was going to, for the rest of my life, throw pots, make pottery. And my father said, we have paid $100,000 for you to be at Duke University. My mother said, I don't give a damn what the chaplain told you. You're not going to be a potter. Forget the dream business. This is nuts. And I'm wondering if a passage like this is particularly a challenge to some of you because, well, I mean, first of all, you're in college. And in college, you know, we teach you to be rational. We teach you to think things through. Don't rush to judgment. Don't let your emotions get away with you. And to be told that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that the reaction in his own family was, he's crazy. That, I would think that could be a challenge. Now, added to that, some of you are in the Reformed tradition. And the Reformed tradition, unlike my tradition, Wesleyanism, you people are noted for thinking through the faith. You're a great intellectual appropriation of Christianity. Orderly, systematically, theologically thinking through the faith. Well, how do you explain the fact when Jesus went home for a weekend with the folks, their reaction was, he's crazy. Others said, he's possessed by the devil. I think that's important because a lot of the preaching I hear today is sort of preaching which says, okay, I'll admit that Jesus sounds very strange and unbalanced in the scripture today. But fortunately, I have the benefit of a seminary education, and so I'm now going to explain to you why what Jesus says here is not as odd as it first sounded. He did not mean hate your mother. He meant put the old lady in better perspective. He didn't mean go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor, okay? That would be irresponsible. He meant take your material possessions and put them in better. You see, kind of domesticating, taming Jesus down. I wonder if one reason we do that is I'm a Methodist, so most of the people I preach to in most Methodist congregations are my age. Look at this. I mean, you know, as you can tell, I mean, this is way past my bedtime, and I'm in that age where if somebody shows up and say, hey, how many people want to engage in some risky behavior on the way to Detroit? You know, I'm not there. So I'm just wondering if maybe this kind of passage is one that you don't hear much about in the church because it's mainly pitched to people your age. And I remember being on a panel talking about alcohol abuse among Duke students. Not a problem here at Hope, but it is a problem back at Duke. And we're talking about the reason that students drink too much on the weekends, and I put forth my reason, and there was a nun sitting there. She works with the Catholic students at Duke, and this this nun sitting there, and when we got to her, she said, I think Duke students drink so much because alcohol gives Duke students a quick and easy vacation from the hell of having always to be successful. And we said, whoa, wow, lady. Gee, that's pretty rough. And then she said, alas, alcohol really doesn't do as good a job with that as Jesus. But, well, Jesus comes home to the people who know him best, to the people who love him, his own family, and they say he is raving exictemi. He is out of his mind. Today, when we preachers often present Jesus as common sense, as a good way, a technique to get whatever it is you happen to want most in life, a way to soothe all your aches and pains, a way to bring you peace in a troubled life and all that. You got to do business with the Word of God here. Here in the third chapter of Mark. Jesus makes sense, but the kind of sense he makes it is so at odds with the American way that sometimes you think he's crazy. I was a chaplain at Duke for 20 years. And in 20 years, I only got one or two worried phone calls from parents saying, help, my son is at Duke and he's addicted to alcohol or he's sexually promiscuous and all. I mean, those are problems, but never got any phone calls from parents about that. But in my 20 years, I received about a dozen phone calls that went something like, help, I sent my child to Duke University to be a success, and she has become a religious fanatic. And I said, well, wait a minute, what do you mean she's become a religious fanatic? She's going with the Catholics on a 2-year literacy program in Haiti. And I'd say, lady, I'm from Greenville, South Carolina, home of Bob Jones University. I can show you fanatics, okay? That is not fanatical, all right? Hey, that is allowable against all these raving fanatics. You had to give these parents credit, though, that they were smart enough to kind of be on the side of Jesus' family. They knew. To have your son or daughter hooked up with Jesus Christ, it's not always kind of what we had in mind. My last year at Duke, my last graduation, I said to a student who had been in charge of our mission program that year, I said, hey, want to be sure and meet your mom when she comes for commencement. I want to meet your mother. And the student said, that ain't going to happen. And I said, why? And she said, my mother's pissed at you. And I said, me? What have I done? And she said, my mother doesn't like what's happened to me in the last couple of years. My mother liked the old me better than the new me. And she said, my mother holds you responsible. My mother says that you have improperly influenced me. And I said, oh, wait, that's kind of dangerous. And so that's what she thinks. Said, she thinks you've screwed my mind up. And she was going with a conservative evangelical group to Chicago to work in a project in the inner city. I said, look, tell your mother that, you know, we just work with what we get here. And that I'm not the one that took you to be baptized. What the heck did she think she was doing when she did that? You tell your mother, if she is unhappy about your mental state at this point, take it up with Jesus.